This episode of Blucher's Breakaway is brought to you by you, the listener. We couldn't do it without you. Go to patreon.com/blueshirtsbreakaway, support us, get access to our Discord, BSBOT episodes, and more. Today we have a very fun show where Greg drops a hypothetical on me of trading for a certain name we've talked about a lot on the show, not Jack Eichel, and what he would trade for that. We talk about the possible shutdown and how the NHL should handle it, because we have to. That's who we are. We are dumb people, by the way, so please don't listen to us too carefully. And then we do talk about the Vegas game and what the Rangers should do next. And we also have our friend Rob Luker on. He does a great job on Twitter for breaking down analytics and other things like that. Very fun show, a lot of fun questions. So without further ado, let's get to Mark Messier.
Hi, everybody. It's Mark Messier, and you're listening to Blue Shirts Breakaway, the number one Rangers podcast.
Blucher Breakaway fans, welcome to the week of the Blucher Breakaway. I am your host, Ryan Mead. I'm here with my co-host, Gregory Kaplan. And Greg, say hello.
Could you imagine the scenario? It would, let me put it this way, Ryan.
Uh-huh.
Let me see if I can thread this needle in the wording.
Sure.
If I had told you that David Quinn was likely to be the Team USA head coach before March 12th, 2019, your response would have been,
I can't believe
only
we've won
was
the cup.
A world like, crippling pandemic.
Wow, I can't believe things worked out so well and we won the cup 5 years in advance. Like, that's incredible that David Quinn did that. It's the only way I can see him being the Olympic coach, right?
It's if you told me in March of 2019 that this is the world we'd be living in December of 2021.
Oh God,
boy,
boy, I might have changed some decisions in my life, to be honest with you. But here we are recording a podcast about the New York Rangers. There is a shutdown currently. As of right now, 6:49 p.m. on a Monday night, as Greg and I record this, there was rumors that there might be a league-wide shutdown. As of right now, there are only 7 games left before the Christmas break. To me, Gregory, maybe you see this different, I don't see what the point of playing those 7 games are until they figure out the rules and how they're going to be moving forward. It's been a really strange situation for me because I don't really know what the option is. Round one of COVID and shutdown, I was like, all right, very pro shutdown. Obviously, we're going to wait for this vaccine to get ready. Once this vaccine's out, we can kind of get things rolling again. There was like all these precautions and everything, but the Omicron bad guy virus Cole thing seemingly is so goddamn strong and contagious that I really don't know how you move forward. I know the NFL is currently just going to not test somebody, or unless they have symptoms, they're not going to test. And I when I first read that, I was like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever read. And then like a day later, I was like, I think this might be the only way. And I'm really struggling with that. And I think you are too.
Well, let me start by saying something that should be obvious, but I want to make sure it's obvious.
Get boosted?
Not just that. Duh. Get vaccinated, get boosted.
Yeah.
But you and I are just 32-year-old schmucks.
Oh, yeah, this is important.
We're not health professionals.
Not microbiologists.
Our opinion on this topic is just that. We are not saying this is what anyone should do or shouldn't do.
And you don't come here for this either. Field, we're just talking about hockey. Yeah.
If anyone in the medical field says, no, this is what we should do, listen to them, maybe. Probably, definitely.
Probably a good idea.
If a health professional says X, that's what it should be. We talk about... Everyone has an opinion on COVID, but imagine if it was something a little bit more serious. Oh, I don't want to say more serious, but imagine
well, Gregory.
imagine we were, I don't know what, if you had pneumonia, right?
That's COVID too, yeah.
A health professional or a doctor said, here's what you should do with pneumonia, you'd probably listen to them blindly.
I think a broken arm is a better example in this situation, but yes.
I don't.
Oh, okay. All right, fine.
a broken arm is physical pain.
Got it. See,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can see what you're saying now. All right. Yeah, anyway, like, but yes.
If you have a broken arm, I can't catch a broken arm from you.
That's correct. In this situation, though, you're correct. We're both 32-year-old dumb dudes who have no idea what we're talking about, and we're just trying to figure out how sports could go forward by being dumb dudes. Continue.
Correct. Okay, so what – I'm very conflicted, which
Me
is
too.
Why I'm stumbling over my words here. Because first and foremost, it's not like the coronavirus is less serious today than it was in March of 2019. All of the issues that exist in 2019, they still exist today, even though there's a vaccine. You're better protected against it, but it's still a super dangerous, super contagious virus that could kill you.
And we simply just don't have enough data on for especially like the new variants.
Yeah, so it's tough because there is a part of me that wonders, and 32 Thoughts was talking about this today as well, and I've been making sure to listen because of so much crazy shit going on that I need more esteemed hockey people
Mr. Friedman
about it. Yeah, you know, the number twos. Us number sixes can only say so much. The number twos.
Right, the number two podcast. Yeah, they know. But number six podcast, we're still trying to figure it out.
It's difficult because if you shut down, right?
Yep.
The question is, all right, if you shut down, are you allowing the players to spread out, to leave, to do whatever they essentially want to do for the holidays, which seems counterproductive if it comes down to we're trying to limit exposure. So you're not having players expose other players, but you're not limiting how players could possibly get exposed. And I think it's also important that we are talking about human beings. I know we're saying that we want these guys for about 60, 70 more games this year, however many games there are, to entertain us on a nightly basis. But if Igor Shesterkin wants to do something for Christmas, I don't feel like the guy to tell him, don't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. I don't know. The problem with this variant is with enhanced protocols, it doesn't seem to matter.
Yeah, it's kind of five times as contagious as the most contagious virus of all time.
And from what we understand, it's more contagious, but what we know about viruses, or at least what, again, a dumb 32-year-old idiot knows about viruses, is viruses will continue to mutate forever, first of all, which is why there's a different flu shot every year.
Ever.
But they continue to mutate in a way where the virus's goal is not necessarily to kill you, because if you die, the virus dies.
It's to live.
The virus doesn't want to die. But again, we're not necessarily there yet. The testing or not testing asymptomatic players is a hard one for me, because
if you're contagious, like why the fuck are we sending you out there?
Not just that, but I feel like
you're also playing with a virus currently.
Yeah, not that, and I understand that players have played sick before, like
players have played through a lot
less
of weird
serious,
stuff.
Less serious illnesses, a common cold, or even a mild flu. People have played through. We can't call COVID that because we don't know. Even if you're asymptomatic, that doesn't mean COVID isn't wreaking havoc on your body. It just, you're not feeling
right.
It.
Even if you don't have a headache and you feel fine, doesn't mean things aren't going on.
To me, the message that sends, and whether we think teams should be playing, there should be a shutdown or none of that, whether teams and leagues like it or not, they are a leader and a reflection of what a normal person would feel like they should be doing. And I feel like discouraging testing by saying if you're not having symptoms, you shouldn't get tested, that's the wrong message in my mind. Because say, I know a lot of our friends, and I think us, well, you, I don't do shit. It's not my holiday. But if you have Christmas plans and you're not feeling sick, you should still get tested before you go to those plans, because you should know the state of your body before you expose it to other people. But if you're feeling fine and you keep hearing the NFL, the NHL, the NBA, all these leagues saying we're only testing symptomatic players, then you could possibly be spreading something that doesn't feel harmful to you. But it's about what it could be to someone else.
That's why it's such a tough situation. And that's why these leagues have to really, you know, I'm not going to get them. Everyone knows how we feel about it. Get fucking boosted. It's not really a surprise here. Yeah. Try and protect everyone you love as best as possible. But I don't know. These leagues are going to have to figure out exactly how they're going to move forward, because there's great economic impacts if they do shut down again. Obviously, you know, lives are way more important than the salary cap, but they still have to figure out how that's going to work moving forward and how the players are going to pay back and all this shit, et cetera. So I would say shut down this league for 2 weeks. The Rangers really don't miss much. If they shut down till the 27th, which is right now we're recording on the 20th, they would play the Red Wings on that Monday night, and then they would only miss one game versus Montreal. That's not a big deal for the New York Rangers.
Here's why I'm team no league-wide shutdown. First and foremost, it seems like we're almost there anyway. 30% of the teams are currently.
It's more than that. There's six, seven games left. That's it.
Yeah, there's one game. There was supposed to be 3 games tonight. Now there's one. I think there was supposed to be 7 games tomorrow. There are currently 2. So it's
cool.
The thing for me is, what does shutting down individual teams allows the league to kind of control what those players can and can't do. It's not a fear. I don't want to say that. And it sounds just draconian that, like, if you shut down the league, these guys are going to go home. Some might travel abroad. And then you're not limiting their exposure. Whereas if you shut down individual teams, you're a little bit more hands-on with what to do with those teams, where those players can and can't go, how those players are getting tested. It seems like I would just keep trying to play with the understanding that every night the game total might be 0, and then hope that how you're controlling this on a team-by-team basis, we get to see the end of this rainbow after the new year. But my fear is if you shut down the league, these guys scatter. You don't have good handles on what these guys are doing if they're scattered. By the way, if you shut down the league, these guys should be able to do whatever the hell they want. The guys should really be able to do whatever the hell they want now and just understand the risks that are involved with that. Like any of us, when I leave my house, I understand what situations I'm putting myself into. And it's a social contract I'm making with myself. I think hockey players should be able to do the same thing, essentially. But I will, from a league control standpoint, I think it might be easier and less complicated for the league to continue to do it game by game. And then you get to the new year and you just pray that this wave is short and essentially quick. It sounds terrible to say. We're just running out of players to be sick.
I know. There's horrific. Really 110 players already in COVID protocol. So, I mean, unless there's we don't know how reinfections rates work. Omicron is only like, you know, a month old at this point. So we have no idea how that works. But if it works like any natural immunity protection from before, plus boosters, plus vaccines, plus taking care of yourself and all that treatment, we're just going to hope the league gets back to healthy very soon.
And I got to say, instead of letting asymptomatic players play, what's the harm in just letting those players sit for 3-4 days and get to a point where they're not highly contagious anymore? If they're feeling fine, it's not the end of the world to just let them chill. The Rangers played 6 games in 9 days. It got bashed over our heads over and over again by MSG as a possible excuse for why they were looking sluggish towards the end of that stretch. This isn't the worst thing in the world. I understand people wanted this break to happen for most players during the Olympics. First of all, we made the David Quinn joke. The David Quinn joke exists because the playoffs, the Olympics, not fucking happening.
No, it is not, dude.
Super.
I would. Super. Can you bet on if they're happening or not? Because I'll put a good amount.
It's off the board. It's off the board.
There's no way.
Well, the Olympics themselves or just hockey NHL participation.
The Olympics. No, the NHL is not going. The Olympics will happen in some shape or form.
Yeah. I would think they are going to happen.
There's too much money there in general for the Olympics and all that shit to not, go down.
You're not wrong there.
NBC Sports is still a channel because of the Olympics. Once the Olympics are done, they're no longer a channel.
I want to make this clear where I am very concerned about everybody's health, but also just need Olympic biathlon back in my life.
It's very important to me and only me.
Yeah, I'm not saying that. I am in about week – I haven't had to work a day since September 30th. And we're well past the point where this time off has been fun and great. I am fucking bored. I'm saying there have been 2 days where I've sat down on the big TV, put on Peacock, and saw that it had replays
of Olympic biathlon.
And the replays are great because, Ryan, there is no commentary. It's just dudes skiing and shooting. And you have to figure it out on your own.
Actually, that sounds way better.
It's amazing, and I now am prepared to gamble on Olympic.
I do like how this podcast has really been diverse. I had an ad meeting earlier, and there was the person I was speaking to was like, "Hey, so do you guys only talk about the Rangers?" I was like, "No, trust me, everything gets covered."
Yeah, I should say on the DraftKings Sportsbook app, hey, when you download it and use promo code BlueShirts.
BlueShirts?
I will be seeing if they have biathlon lines.
Okay,
that is 1,000% happening.
Very interesting. All right. So let's just, to wrap this up and then get into our two other just quick topics for today before we get to our guest Rob Luger, we're going to talk about seventh defenseman for sure. Let's just see how these next 2 weeks go. Let's handle it game by game. Let's see if they I don't know if they're going to mandate anything with the booster or anything like that, but the NHL pretty much did the first time mandate a vaccine. I would be curious to see how they handle it this time. And then, they have to set a plan and then stick to it. And obviously that plan could change depending on the new information that comes out. But all these sports leagues, every single league, bro, the NFL, the NBA, the Premier League, everybody has to figure out what the hell is going to go on here.
Not baseball, because there are no players currently.
There's no baseball. They have no faces.
Hey, Buck Showalter, 3 years. Let's go. We'll get to that later at the end of the podcast. You're stuck. We're going to have to do it at the end of the podcast after Rob. Just deal with it.
Yeah.
But I'll say this more importantly than what the NHL or professional league should or shouldn't do. You are friends at home listening to us
take
for some
yourself.
Reason. All I ask, if you have holiday plans, there's no harm in just getting a test. More than likely, you'll be negative and things will be good, but at least know before you go. That's all I want. If you take anything away from this podcast, I'm sure I'll say something stupid later.
Yeah, we say dumb shit all the time.
Just no harm in getting tested. I got tested the other day. It took less than an hour.
You can actually pick them up at CVS, and they're right now at least in most areas relatively cheap. I think we got a box back when we got COVID the second time. Very fun in August. That was like $20, and it was four tests or some shit. It was awesome. 15 minutes.
I literally COVID wasn't never awesome, got out of my but never got out of my car. It was completely drive through the entire time. Never had human interaction. It was perfect.
Yep. Cool. So do that. We're not trying to preach to you. We're just trying to help you out because you are literally our friends. You can yell at us on Twitter and tell us that we're libtards or something like that.
Yeah, okay. I need you to keep listening to us, which means I need you able to listen. So stay healthy and, you know, alive.
Please stay with us. All right. Let's get to the Vegas and the Rangers. Jack Eichel was supposed
Ryan,
to be a Ranger.
Let me cut you off right there.
Yes.
It was free money.
Oh, dude. My dude. It was the freest of money. To bet Brett Howden +500 to score a goal.
To score anytime.
Anytime. Not first goal, not last goal.
Oh, first goal, Ryan, first goal of the game was over 14-1.
I wish we bet it just for the content.
I bet it. I don't know what you're talking
about.
No,
I mean, I wish I put like a good amount of money on first goal with Brett Howden for just the content. It would have been worth it.
I wish I bet. First world problems. I'm going to complain about placing a $20 wager that paid me 5-1. So I made $100+.
Yes.
I'm upset I didn't just like call it a podcast expense and drop.
Honestly, Greg, if you would have texted me and been like, "This is a marketing expense, I'm doing it," I would have been like, "Yes, let's run it." Brett Howden scoring, and not only that, his game score was like higher than I think it was like 3.60, which is like Kako's like. Game score this year, the highest one was like 3.56. Brett Howden had the most insane game I've ever seen him have, period. And I don't know, it was just the biggest revenge game of all time. Congratulations to the Man Rocket, he can get it, etc.
Oh, he can get it, buddy.
Yes,
for
sure.
He got me money.
He did. So the Vegas Golden Knights and the New York Rangers, the second period for the New York Rangers was one of the most dominant periods for the New York Rangers all season long. The first and third, not so much.
Can you honestly think of a period where the Rangers played better than that second period?
Not this year.
Yeah.
Not this year. There was that one period where the Kako, Mika, Kreider pass where they just absolutely dominated for like, I think it was like 14 minutes. I forgot who it was. But that second period was just, I was like convinced they were going to win the game until there were 6 minutes left. And I was like, there's no way. They're going to go overtime here.
Other periods, they've looked dominant for strong stretch for very significant stretches. The game you're talking about, I think that period started slowly and then the Rangers decided, oh, we're just going to be the best hockey team on the ice right now. But the first goal happened in under a minute. And it was the entire period where it just felt like the game was played in Vegas's zone. It was incredible. And I said it at the time when Vegas tied it up, and I still kind of feel this way, where you can't be angry that they got the point, because I do get the vibe with how the Rangers had been playing up until that game that we all, before the game started, would have made just a handshake deal where if we could guarantee you a point, win or lose, you would have just taken.
You would have had to, especially because there was no Igor and no Panarin. Like you,
right.
You, if you're missing two of your best three players, yeah, you're probably going to sign up for a point at the end of it. But the way that listen, the first and third were not good. The third especially. It was a rough time for the New York Rangers. They were just looking sluggish. And the fact that it was just 2-2 is still a good thing. So you sign up for the point. But where they were and how they were playing in the second is just so disappointing to bring it into the third there. And unfortunately, that's what happened. Now, overtime was also bonkers. Like, out of this world insane. I saw all the threads last week that was like three or three overtimes, actually boring. Well, guess what, nerds? It's not. it's not. I'm sorry. And especially at 3-on-3 overtime ended, and all MSG did was Sam forgot how to speak, and because he would just used all of his abilities and powers on 3v3 overtime. He's getting up there in age. God bless Sam. He said on Vince's podcast he wants to do it for many more years, and I think he should because he's my granddad. But they just panned to Adam Fox on the bench, heavy breathing for a minute and 30 seconds. They didn't cut to commercial. They did no in-screen ad. It was just Adam Fox, a close-up of his face, heavy breathing for a minute and 30 seconds. And it was beautiful. And unfortunately, the shootout absolutely stinks sometimes. And that's most times, to be honest. And that's how that game ends.
Every time.
No, the one shootout this year when it went to seven players was insane. It was great.
Sure. I was in the building for that, and it was great and good. But it's just such a fart after 3-on-3 because 3-on-3 is
electric.
It's cocaine.
It is.
I don't know how else to describe it. It's fucking nonstop adrenaline where even when you cycle back, all it takes is for one player to be a half inch out of position and then the rush is back on. I'm begging for 10 minutes. Five just feels too short.
It does feel too short. And that enables, I did see some of the arguments that, that people were making how to change it. I don't mind the idea of saying you can't bring it past or back into the neutral zone and back into the middle ice once you've brought it in, so you can't reset. I don't know if that's like a way you can keep it. It's already insane, but I guess teams are just trying to game it where you win possession and then just hold it for like the 5 minutes and then go to a shootout. And that's lame.
Trying to improve 3-on-3 overtime is like saying I could give you $5 million right now, or I can give you $5 million in 20s instead of 100s. You're not really fixing a problem because there really isn't a problem. There's no problem. The problem is that this eventually goes to a shootout. If you take that away, I think overtime would, to me, honestly, just make it untimed. Make it that sudden death. Someone has to score. There will be a winner. And if you don't want that, honestly, make it 10 minutes and just – I see.
No, this is when we get back to – ties have to happen. They have to.
Okay, but if the goal is to keep overtime amazing, I either have to take – if you want ties, I think you take overtime off the table entirely.
No, can't do it. Got to do 10 minutes. 10 minutes overtime, and then if nothing happens in the 10 minutes overtime,
but
we go to a tie.
I think if you make tying possible, I guess if tying's possible, it can't be 2 points, 1 point, right? It has to be
the 3-1
zero structure.
Yep, that's where I would go. 3-1.
Yeah, because then if you're guaranteed the 1 point already, and all you're trying to do is prevent the other team from getting two, I think overtime could become just lazy possessions where one team is trying to just sit on the puck and not really pushing up the ice. But if it's a 3-1-0 and there's actual stakes for you losing instead of just getting the loser point, yeah, then we're fine. But we all know, or you and I at least know, that NHL is not creative enough for that. But that's neither here nor there. There's one critique I have of the Rangers, specifically in overtime. If I see Barclay Goodrow on the ice one more time in a 3-on-3 situation.
Yeah, not good.
What's the point? Like, what are we doing? Why?
Barclay Goodrow, a great end of game 5v5 player, great fourth liner, all that. 3v3 where it's a skills competition? No, thank you.
Yeah, I also I don't quite fully understand why teams, but specifically the Rangers, would feel the need to even, like, it seems like every team wants to do one center, one winger, one defenseman. In 3-on-3, someone smarter than me is going to have to explain why wouldn't it just be cool with two wingers and a D. What would prevent me from Panarin, Kako, Fox, or Trouba, Lafreniere, and Kreider? Like, what prevents that? What benefit do I have? The ice is so open that it's kind of positionless hockey anyway.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind, Trouba, Kreider, Kako, something like that, or there's a lot of weird mixes you can just have. And I wonder what the most optimal would be.
I understand Hedl was playing wing that game, but just call him a center and let your three overtime centers be Zibanejad, Strome, and Hedl. Why is Goodrow on the ice at any point in time?
Hedl was he did miss a possession there. And we'll talk with Rob Luker about the Hedl going to wing situation, because I have a feeling he has some feelings about that. But Hedl had a little bit of a rough game. And listen, he's got to adjust. He's still trying to figure out, he's kind of getting pushed around from wing to center back and forth with Gallant. The quote today was,
not just that, but we forget he's what, 21 still?
Yeah, something like that, 22. And he pretty much said that Gallant would any hockey player would play. It doesn't matter where you put me, I want to play. Surprise, hockey players, everybody. All right, now that we've gotten through that, we want to do just – you want to save the hurdle question for Rob too? We'll just do some 5 stars real quick before we get to Rob.
Let's do. I think the hurdle hypothetical is worth you and I talking about it, because I think we're going to disagree.
We will, because there's no way I do it. You asked the hypothetical in our Discord, Patreon, blah 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 blah. Support us. All right, so you asked the question there, and it said Rangers trade for Hurdle, but Hurdle is guaranteed to walk at the end of the year. Do you include Othman to make a deal happen if you know you're only getting Hurdle for February to the playoffs? I'm assuming you asked this because I think you would, and there's a 0% chance Ryan would.
Yeah, I would in a heartbeat.
There's no way. There's no way I do it.
The reason I asked the question is I've made this point in passing, but I think it deserves a little bit more of a serious conversation considering where the Rangers are in the standings and what we think this team is capable if Shesterkin and Panarin are healthy at the end of the year, which you have to assume they will be because we're, blind believers. We've lost the forest through the trees a little bit. You're Brennan Othman, however he develops, and it seems like he's having a great D+1 year. Everybody's very excited. The timeline is always talking about him. That's great and good. I'm happy. I always like when my team's prospects are doing well. But if you have a legitimate chance at winning the Cup this year, and the Rangers are positioning themselves to be one of the 16 teams that has that chance, and if you think Hurdle is the guy that takes the Rangers from having a chance to having a high probability, the goal is to win one. I would like to win more, but I have to win one in order to win more. So I would trade that guy for Othman in this respect if it meant that I felt confident that for this season my team was going to go from playoff contender to cup contender. That doesn't apply to just Hurdle, but I use Hurdle because he's the guy that seems to be the apple of everybody's eye more than anybody else. Like, this isn't a conversation we have about a guy like Kessel. This isn't a conversation we have about a guy like Yarncrook. This is a guy where you're trading for the best dude available that we think will be available. I trade whatever it takes if I think it gives me better chances at doing the thing that I'm supposed to do, which is win the Stanley Cup.
All right. You do make a good point. There's no doubt about that. I think I would need to be... I do think this team is good. We've settled that question before, because I ask it all the time. Is this team good?
Good with flaws that could be answered by someone like Hurdle.
I just don't know if Hurdle brings them to, boy, are we a top three team to contend? And I don't know if that matters in the NHL. Like, we talk about parity, but the same couple teams have kind of won over the past years, with the exception of, like, the Blues. Because it's always been like the Penguins or, the Lightning or the Blackhawks. Those guys have always ended up winning no matter what, just the way it is. Does Hurdle take the Rangers to that next step? Because I think Othman is a really good piece, especially with how cap crunch the Rangers are going to be down the line. Having cheap and efficient talent is going to be incredibly important.
That's if he keeps developing at the pace he's developing.
Which is not a guarantee.
Right. We do like to assume that Othman's great year this year will just continue to excellence, right? But
that's not always the case. And actually, more times than not, it's not the case.
So what I'm saying, what you're saying is you'd rather bet on the controllable asset appreciating in value over years. I'd rather bet that the piece I'm getting at the deadline this year brings me closer to a realistic shot at the whole point of this. And I do think this is, you guys, I mean, you can't go back to the first four episodes, but this is something you and I have talked about forever, and especially
we have
about Keith Yandle. The goal is to win the cup. I understand the goal is also to win more cups after that.
To win the game.
Yeah, yep. But it's, I think too often we worry ourselves, and I know you and I do this too, because how many times do we talk about the cap crunch the Rangers are going to have to do in 2023, 2024? We do this every time. It's a worry to have. I'm not saying we should all bury our head in the sand and just assume that everything's going to be okay. But the Rangers are in an unlikely position where they aren't just flirting with a playoff spot, but they are now in a point where if they don't make the playoffs, it's a failure. And there are enough of the teams we expected to be good in the East that just aren't. The Bruins aren't. The Islanders aren't. We assumed the Flyers were going to be bad, but our assumptions were correct. The Penguins, one week they seem fine, the next week they aren't. To me, this is, to compare it to something else, a real 2015 situation for the Rangers that the Mets had, where the Mets, they won 11 games in a row. Nobody expected that. The Phillies and Nationals shit the bed. Nobody expected that. The Mets, I give them shit all the time. They understood they had a rare opportunity, and they went out and made a deal for Cespedes that turned out to work. But they made that deal thinking he was walking. They expected him to walk. The only reason he didn't walk is because he became A-Rod in his prime unexpectedly, and they felt the need to try to recapture that.
And then he fought but a boar. That's okay.
I just – the Rangers, nobody expected. The most optimistic Ranger fan, I include you in that. You said there was a chance they could be second. They are number one in the Metro right now. Them and the Capitals.
Yeah, they're currently third, but they're 1 point difference between the Capitals and Hurricanes, and the Capitals have a game in hand. The Hurricanes have a game in hand on them. So yes,
this is prime Panarin, this is prime pre-prime Fox, prime Trouba, prime Igor.
Prime Zibanejad. Yeah.
Prime Zibanejad, red hot Kreider. This is a situation where you have enough of your core pieces clicking at just the right time, where you are more competitive than you expected to be. Where I sit, I need to add on to that significantly to guarantee that I'm going to have a legitimate chance at a title. Because one title is the goal. Multiple titles is great.
Well,
it's one.
Geez, two is ridiculous. I need one. I just need one. All right, I want
to
ask you a question.
I'm willing to sacrifice a kid that may be good in 3 years, if I think that one piece, even if he's only here for 4 months, helps me realize that one goal.
All right.
That is a no question thing for me.
Two follow-ups. Because I think if you told me this same question, but you said Schneider, I would have said yes. Even though I like Braden Schneider.
I think that's fascinating that you'd rather trade Schneider than Othman.
I really would. Yeah.
I think Schneider's stock is higher than Othman. Schneider's closer to being an actual piece. Schneider is less of a dream than Othman is.
He'll probably be a top four defenseman in the NHL, which is extremely valuable, period.
Yeah, and again, I get the Rangers having a lot of defensemen. They also have a lot of wingers. I know they're missing a specific spot, but Othman's not going to fill that spot anytime soon. So to consider him as the missing piece for your top nine right wing, ludicrous. Your team's going to look completely different by the time he's going to have a chance to realize his potential.
I just think the right side for the New York Rangers is kind of full up for the next forever. And if you were like, hey, we're going to go for it, we're going to give up Schneider, I'd be more comfortable.
I'm very surprised that is the take you're having now, because I think Schneider has done a job of closing – the standard deviation on his career.
That's correct.
We have a pretty clear picture of what he's going to be at worst and what he can be at best.
And he's done nothing but raise his stock since we slandered the Rangers for taking him. Yes.
We would be shocked at this point in Schneider's development curve if he didn't have a NHL career. Shocked.
Which is a great thing for a first-round pick.
Yes.
After the top 10.
I can't say that for Hoffman just because of this good year he's having against children.
Yes, that's true. My follow-up question is this, Greg. Mm-hmm. In the East right now, who are the teams you think are legitimately better than the Rangers? Because I think there's five.
Lightning,
Maple Leafs, Panthers, Hurricanes, Capitals.
Maple Leafs on paper.
I know that they have to do it in the playoffs. I'm aware of this.
I understand that it's they talent-wise, you're absolutely right. But also, I don't know. If it was Rangers Leafs in round one,
I think we could win that.
I would absolutely pound the Rangers money line to win that series because I know they'd be plus money, and I know Jack Campbell's having a good year, but I also know that it's Jack Campbell. I that could be very mean of me to say.
It might be, but Igor is a different breed. He just is.
Yeah, and
He just is, but.
I get that you're dealing with Austin Matthews, John Tavares, William Nylander, Mitch Marner. I understand all that, but
the core four.
For me, the Leafs need to do it in order for me to be like, if I'm in a death stare with the Maple Leafs, maybe I don't win it, but I feel more confident than I should be. The Lightning, Leafs, who were the three other teams?
Lightning, Panthers, Hurricanes, and Capitals.
Panthers, I disagree with. I guess that's just because they're so injured right now. Hurricanes.
That team's good.
It's good, but again, I don't, like, for sure better than the Rangers.
So I guess the question is this. If we trade for Hurdle, who can you say we're, let's say all these other teams don't make moves for some reason whatsoever. Whatever moves they make just don't work. But Hurdle works out for the Rangers. He becomes their 3C. You're running now. Your three centers for the playoff run is Mika Zibanejad, Strom, who has somehow captured magic in a bottle and maybe can hit an empty net once in a while, and then Hurdle, and that's what you're running with. You're deep down center. You figured out you've brought in another right wing. You're making whoever you want to say it is. You're just better than I think you're better than everyone, but like the Lightning.
Yeah,
maybe.
But here's the thing. I mean, we know shit can happen in the playoffs. I understand it was 3 years ago at this point, but we're not that far removed from the Lightning, the best team in hockey, getting swept by the Blue Jackets. Weird shit just happens. So if I feel Hurdle specifically, again, in this example, makes my team super dangerous in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Dangerous enough where I think we are one of the four best teams in the East. The long end of this entire conversation comes to the point where I think we as sports fans are caring way too much about opening night, October 2022, before we finish June 2022. It's not the end of the world if players walk. I understand it's not ideal, but my goal is to make my team as best option of themselves as possible to win the Stanley Cup. I don't care if I make the playoffs, what my team is going to, if I'm down one game to none going into game two, my thought process is not, boy, I wonder what this team looks like on opening night 2022. I'm in the playoffs. So now I want to make sure I've done everything I can before the playoffs have started to make my team as best as I can. And again, if the Rangers were a fringe contender, if the Rangers were just middle of the road, this is a different conversation that we probably don't have. But the New York Rangers are in a position that none of us expected them to be in. And they are in that position all while masking some holes in their roster construction, which means this Ranger team that is currently tied for first in the Metropolitan Division is not a finished product and nowhere near close to being perfect. So I can improve on this all while already being gifted this cushion that I didn't expect to have. Yeah, I know I push all my chips in at that point. You you're sitting on pocket aces, and you at some point you have to make an aggressive move. Otherwise, if the goal is just to be competent for 10 years and have some good seasons but never have a bad season, it's great and good. The goal is to win a championship, and I'm willing to pay a price, a significant one, for that championship, especially if it's just a lottery ticket that I value. But at the same time, you can't tell me today to my face for sure that Brendan Othman is going to have an NHL career. It would be a little surprising if he didn't, but the percentage chance of it happening is not zero.
Boy, so and it's not like you're giving up, like, and I like Othman a lot comparatively to when they drafted
him. I admit the trade wouldn't be one-to-one, but if Othman's the centerpiece of a deal for an expiring contract, I don't even think it's another first-round pick that you have to add into there.
I agree. It's probably just him and, like, one other little thing. And
maybe a conditional pick that could be a first, where you're telling the Sharks, if we make a certain round, it's a first. Like the Rangers did with Zouk.
Yeah, if we win the Cup, you can have the first. We don't care. It's a really interesting thought experiment there, Greg, because I don't know why, but my gut says I'd rather trade like a Schneider. It does. As crazy as that is. And right away, I just think that right side of the New York Rangers is just locked up for like the next six
years. So your main problem with this hypothetical is not the lottery ticket for the sure thing that the sure thing's going to walk in 4 months.
It's, you know, I hate that. I
know
hate
you do.
That.
The Keith Yandel conversation we had was like our first big debate.
It's when they let Keith Yandel walk, but they were not good enough to make any noise in the playoff that year. They were just trying to like prop up a Weekend at Bernie's situation for the New York Rangers that were going deep in the playoffs the past couple of years. It just did not work out. The magic was gone, and they just let Keith Yandel. They got a fifth for him or something like that, but they probably could have got a first at the trade deadline, and then refused to do it. And till this day, I think it was one of the stupidest asset management moves they've ever had. Now, they were in it, and they got to the playoffs, and they got absolutely destroyed by the Pittsburgh Penguins, as is no surprise. But in this situation, just like not capitalizing and just pushing down the way, I don't know. To me, if the Rangers were better at 5v5 this year, if they seemed like...
Yeah, but again, that's a problem that can be corrected with the right move.
Right, if Hurdle comes in, you're saying the 5v5 likely gets a lot better.
It's hard to imagine it getting worse.
Can't really get worse.
I'm just
it's a really tough situation.
From where I sit, you have your best players in their prime, and you are in an unexpected standings position at this point in the season. And you have a goalie who is playing at the top of his game. You're saying you feel comfortable betting that the Rangers will find a cheaper option where I get to keep my prized possession and they'll be this good next year, as opposed to just pushing your chips in this year when, again, Panarin, peak of his powers. Hard to imagine. Again, Zibanejad not playing well, but Zibanejad at the right age. Kreider at the right age. I understand Kako and Lafreniere are going to get better over time, but at some point, your star players don't get better over time. And they are having that kind of season this year.
And to help your point, and I hate to do it because I don't know if I fully agree yet. I'm kind of just on the fence. The Rangers will not have this cap space to add a player like this moving forward. This is their only chance to do it.
Correct.
All right. I'm going to think about it. Let's get to Rob Luker. And then we'll come back and talk.
We'll do five stars and Buck at the end.
Yeah, we'll do that. All right, here we go. Let's talk about our good friends and at DraftKings. Transition.
The holidays are almost here, and there's no better way to celebrate the holidays than by saying DraftKings Sportsbook is coming to New York. It won't be long until you can get and bet on all your favorite sports right here in the Empire State on the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app. Now, I will say not all of the bets you make are going to be free money, like Brett Howden plus 500 to score a goal against the New York Rangers was. You know DraftKings for their daily fantasy contests. Now they've brought their expertise to sports betting so that sports fans everywhere can get on the action from their couch. DraftKings Sportsbook offers everything you would ever want from a sports betting app. Player props, same game parlays, you name it, they have it. In just a short time, you'll be able to bet on all your favorite sports from the comfort of your own home, including the ones that make you sad, with one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, DraftKings Sportsbooks. It's safe, secure, reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. So, check out DraftKings and tell them I sent you, Greg Kaplan, this guy, me, by using promo code BLUESHIRTS. That's promo code BLUESHIRTS when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, coming soon to New York. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbooks for full details. Must be 21 plus and physically present in New York. Gambling problem? Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
Hey, we're back with our first and only guest of the show. We have Rob Luker. He is one of my favorite Twitter follows. He is a person you can follow for Bills commentary and also talking about defenseman pairing changes. Rob, how are you?
Good. How's it going, guys?
It's doing doing well. There's some things going on Earth, and we discussed those earlier. But for right now, we're trying to just keep it up with the Rangers. There's been a lot going on, and one thing you've been trumpeting, and I guess we'll just get to it right away, is there's been this sort of pairings for the New York Rangers that have just stuck for the past 2 years, and that is Adam Fox and Ryan Lindgren, the natural roommates, and Keandre Miller and Jacob Trouba. You've kind of been trumpeting out there, at least from everywhere, every which way, that you'd like to see those kind of changed up and sort of reversed in some way, where Keandre Miller ends up playing with Adam Fox and Lindgren plays with Trouba. Why exactly is that? Could you explain for people that wouldn't understand why that would need to happen?
Ryan, I've simply never heard of this idea. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, no, sorry.
Kidding. Let's just jump right in.
What do you think Hedl at wing?
Yeah. Well, we can circle back to that.
We will.
No, I think, I mean, yeah, for those that have followed me or for those that this is the first time, one of the big things that I've been going after with the Rangers, particularly for their trends, because we're going on basically, well, I mean, a year and a third for the pairing of Keandre Miller and Jacob Trouba. And the big thing is last year they had some okay stints, but overarching, I mean, they gave up more chances than they would generate when on ice. Now, obviously, it really depends on which forwards they're paired with. That's perfectly natural, and we can get into that too a little. But what happened was they had a really good start. First 10 games of the year, they got rid of that problem. They were their chances and expected goals against per 60 were lower at 5-on-5, and they were generating about the same amount of offense as last year. Now, what's happened in the last 15 games or so, and it started during that good middle 10-game stretch for the Rangers, is they've gone back to their old ways. They're hit or miss on offense, but then night in, night out, they're the worst pair for giving up the most chances. And, yes, that includes Patrick Nemeth and Nils Lundqvist, who really turns it around after a bad 20 games. Their last 10 or 12 games have been pretty solid, to be honest. So that's my main concern, is if your top four – or, sorry, your second pair, arguably, suddenly starts giving up way more than they can generate, even while the Rangers' top nine forwards figure their stuff out. They were playing mostly with the top six, maybe a little bit with that third line, which was obviously on fire. You know, that's a concern. And while Lindgren and Fox obviously dominate pretty much, they had a little bad stretch in the beginning of the year. They're doing their thing. So how do we balance this out? Or do you want to balance it out? It's kind of worthy debate on that side too.
Well, I guess that's my question. Would you personally feel comfortable, say, in your opinion — I mean, it's not your opinion, the numbers bear it out too, even though I do think, not to be an eye test guy, Trouba Miller never looks as bad to me in real time as it just seems to be on the stat page at the end of the night. But you're willing to break up the one thing that definitely works for the Rangers, Fox Lindgren, to try and find an answer more equally in the top four?
Basically, yes, but here, I'll explain it like this. Let's start from the 10,000-foot view. If Lindgren, Fox, and Nemeth Lundqvist, if basically two out of your three pairs are running well, more than likely you're going to be either in the game or probably winning the game. You know what I mean? All three pairs, it's really hard to dominate a game all the way. So I agree with that. It's, you know, one – but ideally, you'd rather have the guys, the two pairs, playing 20 minutes a night on the right side of that scoring chance and expected goal differential – than that third pair. And it's kind of the same as the fourth line, which we can also touch on. But, you know, you want your guys that are soaking up most of the minutes to do the best. And then when you really get into it, what's interesting is Miller, in some brief minutes away, like end of shifts, beginning of shifts away from Trouba, suddenly has some better defensive numbers to him. And it's just interesting because if you pair him with Fox and he can hold his own defensively at the basically the same time on ice, then that could be an interesting pairing. And then the last point is you can always go back to the same pairs we got right now. If you try it out for 10 to 15 games, because they're not playing that great right now at 5-on-5, you can always go back to how it started and how the, and just go and figure it out from there.
Can I push back on one thing you said? And I want you to correct me if I'm wrong in this this thought process. You're saying Miller, essentially away from Trouba at the beginning of shifts or end of shifts, seems to have better numbers. Isn't that potentially the case because wouldn't the Rangers in that moment more than likely have possession of the puck, allowing their defenseman to change in the first place?
Yep, absolutely. It's a very minute point. I mean, it's just I just find it interesting just because I am, you know, peeling these numbers away a little bit, looking for trends. But yeah, it's really nothing significant. It would just be interesting to see what it would fully look like away from Miller.
So you would put Miller with Fox, and you would have Lindgren with Trouba, and you think Miller would benefit from this how?
Yes, I would do that. And actually the reason is because I think Patrick Nemeth there for a while, he settled in. He's never going to play pretty, but he's done pretty well with Lundqvist lately in terms of, not really with Lundqvist lately. It's been with Hayek, but he was doing better. And I guess the point is, Greg, that I would like to see Miller with Fox because I do think Fox can carry pretty much any other defenseman. I mean, he did just win a Norris. He should probably win another one.
He literally is the best defenseman in the league. Yes, yes. Keep going.
And that's what I mean. And I think Lindgren can also complement Trouba in the sense of, I mean, Lindgren's skill is not necessarily in the offensive zone. He loves to wheel it around when he gets it. But, I mean, he steps up at the blue line. He tries to limit as many chances as possible. And to let Trouba roam, which we saw in his Winnipeg days, he did a little bit more of, could unlock a little bit of value out of that cap hit.
I want to make clear that I'm not disagreeing, actually, with your opinion at all. So if these questions are coming off like I'm needling to a point where I'm definitely on the other camp, that's not the case. I'm just – I like your thought process, and I'm just pushing you in the direction, you know, just –
Just genuinely curious guys doing our own research. That's what kids do these days. Do your own research.
You got to do your own research. Yeah. No, I mean, I get it. And it's been a year and a half. So it's just a matter of my big thing is, you know, if they do try it, it'll probably go horribly. And I'm going to have to eat crow. It is what it is. But they can always go back to the pair as is now. Or they can get real word and move Nemeth or Lundqvist around. And then we get into a real wild card situation.
Or they can move Hayek up. I mean, you haven't even considered that. I mean, after the stretch of games he's had, I mean, why don't we play him with Fox again? Remember those days?
There needs to be more conditioning assignments. He needs to be well conditioned, but I think I'll just leave it at that.
I think he needs some more shampoo too, and conditioner. He needs both. I don't think he's going to have enough to stick in the NHL. It might actually seems like we'll get Jones maybe up soon. Who knows with the situation with shutdowns and COVID players and Nemeth now in protocol.
Now, Ryan, I just to cut you off a little bit there. See that your hunch was just that Jones was injured, right?
Yes, he was just injured. That's correct. Yeah, he had a lower body injury over the weekend, according to Larry Brooks. But he seems to be okay now, so I think he could be back. So let's see. With Hayek, obviously, being an absolute tire fire, are we being too harsh on Patrick Nemeth over the past couple games? There have been a couple games where he's been okay. I thought he had some of his best games as a Ranger, but he is now becoming that sort of Mark Stahl beat-em-up stick, I guess. Are we being too harsh here, Rob?
I mean, game to game, he definitely hasn't been the best. I think during that middle 14-game streak, and maybe it was just because the Rangers were playing some easier teams, and as a team, they were playing really well. He might have benefited a little from that. So I'm in kind of both camps. I recognize that Nemeth overall has not played well, even with his good little 10, 12, 14 game streak there. He's not been what the Rangers need him to be. That said, I'm also not willing to completely give up on him on the year. I think defensive impacts are less in the game, but are pretty consistent year over year for defensemen that are pretty good at them. So I still think he can find his way. I don't think he should probably play more than a third pair ever. And a scratch or two might not help, especially if Jones comes up, because I think a lot of us would like to see Jones, especially if Nemeth Lundqvist suddenly go negative consistently.
My question on Nemeth for you, Rob, is essentially, are we using, as a fan base, the we, using Nemeth as a larger scapegoat because we just don't want to talk about how this team plays offensively at 5v5.
I mean, possibly, and then it doesn't help that he gets paired with Hayek, who, I mean, even if you, it's still a pretty small sample, but Nemeth has been much better with Lundqvist, obviously, than Hayek already. So, I mean, yeah, that's pretty fair. The only thing I'll say to that for the team as a whole is this Rangers team is wild because they're average at best at 5-on-5, meaning if you take the whole year so far. But then if you include power play and shorthanded, suddenly they pop up to be a top 10 team in terms of expected goals and goal differential so far, which is obviously what they look like in the standings.
Correct. And they're still trying to find that magic at 5v5 because they can't. They had it for a couple games. Things started to click, and now they're moving Hedl to wing in certain games. I think you've been a pretty big Hedl stan. Correct me if I'm wrong. Over the past couple years, he's kind of like always been a step away from unlocking that potential. Greg and I have been on the side of he probably is a wing, or at least the Rangers think he's a wing. Where do you think he ends up?
I start with anything Filippito. Yes, I'm a big fan, but I start with the fact that he has, despite some injuries and everything along those lines, done everything the Rangers have asked from him from the start of his career. In the sense of he's got good underlying numbers. His time on ice is definitely firmly third line. He's never really gotten a consistent run in the top six, and you can debate whether he's deserved that or not. That's fine. But all he does is basically get on the ice, make the Rangers better in terms of shots for, expected goals for, scoring chances, all that. Now, he had a couple of years of some relatively hot shooting under 10%, and now he's below that. So, you know, can he actually get the goals that he should is a different question. But I'm okay with the wing idea in the sense of the Rangers need to solve the 5-on-5 offense. And if Hedl's going to be make them better when he's on the ice, you know, let's get wild. Let's try some things. Otherwise, I do think he will eventually be either a really good third-line center on a deep team or a second-line center that could probably get some help from the wingers.
Let's understand that the hypothetical I'm about to ask you involves the Rangers playing in the top nine with only eight players right now. But without scratching that trade itch again, paint me the Rob Lucker top nine you most want to see right now.
Oh, man. Okay, fair enough. So, let's see. I've been a big fan of Julien Gauthier so far. You know, again, maybe some shot percentage, meaning converting those goals issues, but
Let me cut you off, Rob. Maybe doing more than one move would really help.
Well, yes. I'm a big fan of taking it straight to the rack, but you got to figure out also how to get it that last, you know, foot and a half past the crease. So yes, that's kind of a big thing. But honestly, it's kind of – I don't want to blend it up too much right now. I'm a tweak guy. I don't like the full line blender, but – so I would probably try something like Kreider, Zibanejad, Gauthier, Panarin, Strome, and then, I mean, assuming Panarin's back and everything, maybe Hedo on the right wing, something like that. I like Dryden Hunt down on the third line. I think that's probably how I would round it out. So who am I missing?
Kako.
You're missing a guy by the name of Kapo Kako, who you apparently have on your fourth line.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Never mind.
Wrong podcast to do that on.
I look at the problem. I'm negative. I know. I'm admittedly negative. I look at the problem. And Kako's been really good this year. So I'm just relying on him to be good wherever I put him. So maybe actually book Gauthier back down, keep Dryden Hunt on the third line. And I don't know. Well, I guess that means McKegg's playing center. Who knows? I don't know.
It's a situation where I think you'd be comfortable. Would you kind of try and ask Chris Kreider just, hey, man. Would you do this one more time? Like right now, it's rough for us right now. Would you go to the right wing one more time? We just want to get Lafreniere up there. You and Mika hang out at the top line. I think that really kind of balances out their top six.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And I somehow forgot Lafreniere too. Jeez, because I've been happy with him. So, yeah, no, I agree. I mean, because I think that was the idea from a lot of people who watched day-to-day for the Rangers, you know, these last few years, these painful years, if you will. But I like the idea of moving Kreider down there eventually. And I mean, I can, because I think it all hinges with the trade-ish that we're not supposed to talk about or wish too hard for. But I mean, yeah, if they get a real, you know, top six, ideally right winger back in the lineup, it opens up a lot of opportunity for some depth moves.
Who could that be?
You and I have disagreed on Phil Kessel. And I think he's a good example to use for this. I am of the opinion the Rangers are lacking in one specific area, which is offensive production at 5v5. Correct me if I'm wrong. Your general opinion is you don't trust the one-dimensional player if we're talking about building a Stanley Cup caliber team.
Yes, unless that one dimension really outweighs the bad.
and you're saying the offense doesn't justify the defense.
I just think he's not the Phil Kessel of the old, meaning he's not generating as much as he used to. It's hard to say that's purely on the line. I realize he's on a lesser Coyotes.
Yeah, Rob, let me ask you a question. But if you were on the Coyotes, how would you play? Would you be really motivated to go out there and get out there every night and grind it out?
That's fair. All right, fine. You'll turn me into the optimist on this one. If they go and get Kessel, I'll just leave it at this. He's never really played. He's played top 6 minutes for, I don't even know how long he's been in the league, for the last 10, 12 years. Every time, no matter what, they find somehow he's playing in the top 6 minutes. So if they got him, I would not necessarily want to slot him into the first right wing or second right wing spot. I would want him on the third right wing, maybe get him some easier minutes at 5-on-5 against some lesser competition. And then if there's a spot for him on power play 2, I wouldn't put him on power play 1 because, I mean, they do click when they click. That's probably how I would handle Kessel if that did happen.
Can't argue with that.
To add to that point, isn't part of the reason why we're seeing the kid line succeed, at least analytically, so much, is for that reason, that they are getting opportune matchups?
Yeah, that certainly helps. I also think Lafreniere, Zibanejad, Kreider start the year. I mean, they did everything they could. I think they were running like a 60% expected goal rate by the time they got broken up. And then all of a sudden, you know, Laf was down on the third line and we're wondering about his TOI. So, and I think Hedo could probably handle a little bit more. And I guess Gauthier is probably the weak link there. But yeah, you're not wrong, Greg.
Okay, so now I will scratch the itch. Who is your top 9 acquisition? Because it's very clear the Rangers need one.
Oh, man. See, I do stink at hypotheticals because it's all about who's available. So maybe I just leave it at this. I would want the Rangers to use some of the premium assets they have to try to target an RFA if possible, disgruntled or wants a trade or, I mean, however you want to do it. But lure some team into paying or allowing an RFA to walk where the Rangers could sign them at maybe either an extended amount, meaning some years that don't cost that much, or do a bridge deal to see where we're at with the cap in a year or two. Because then the only other option is to really max out the cap and go for a large rental, but then you got to really get rid of that guy next year because of the impending cap crunch that's coming with the Rangers a little bit.
Well, Greg, go ahead.
Well, I'll just say, Ryan and I had a very long debate about this just before you added on. You are, from what I'm gathering from this, you're out on any deal where the Rangers are acquiring a guy for 4 months and then walking away.
I think if it's a bona fide top 6 to be UFA, that's not going to – I mean, they have the cap space this year. I'm just wondering what you do with somebody like that next year
specifically,
if you try to resign either a large UFA.
Let's say specifically Hurdle. I'm promising you the Rangers can get Hurdle this year, but also guaranteeing you that he walks – after this year, are you out on any deal that involves Hurdle if you know you can't sign him on July 1st?
No, I would not be out on Hurdle. That's because he's pretty legit, but he's probably due for a payday too. So that's what I mean. It's kind of situational. I think of the hypotheticals.
So Hurdle is the level that you're cool. If this is a 4 month rental that will help me in the playoffs, the end of the season, and possibly make my dreams of winning a Stanley Cup more accessible. That's the level of player you're cool with, understanding as soon as you acquire him, this is a very short marriage.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. It's got to be somebody with pretty much, I mean, he's a great example. He's not on a great team, and he still does pretty well every night. So, yes, I would agree.
Okay. Oh boy. All right. Does the price and acquisition cost matter to you in that example?
Obviously, we're not probably talking like 3 firsts.
Everybody asks for the 3 firsts on the rental, and then they get one or barely a second or something like that. But yeah, I mean, if you're gonna, you got to pay a rental price. That's the difference, and that's why my mind goes to, because of the way the Rangers cap set up the next 2 or 3 years. If they can get an RFA winger and maybe a little bit buy low situation or something like that, and make the best, but that probably goes against what most people want, which is to load up and use the cap space. So it's kind of a, it's how you want to handle it. Do you want to go all in this year, or do you want to keep a little bit for the next 2, 3, 4 years?
The name example I used for Hurdle was Othman. If it cost you Othman, okay, are you still making the trade?
See, I'm also not a great prospect guy, but I know this guy's on fire pretty much.
That's correct. But not a guaranteed thing.
I mean, prospects, all prospects are great, and then they get to the NHL, and then some are not great, right? Ooh. And that's probably my, like, official line on prospects.
That's the Evolving Wild line, really.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to leave out certain names that are on our roster now or anything like that, but, yeah, that's kind of where I land. So I would never take any prospect off the table at this point.
Okay. All right. Well, what do you think the Rangers could do moving forward? I mean, we talked about the lines. We talked about defense. What is it? Is there any strategic thing you see that you would like to see them change? Like, do faceoffs really matter? Because this is a constant situation we always have to fight about.
That's a real loaded question. But, I mean, no, I think it's been a kind of a tale of two teams so far, right, guys? I mean, they've been either pretty starkly not good, or they had that nice 14 stretch run. And yep, what's really interesting, I saw Hockey Stat Miner, I believe his name is Mika, great guy.
That's correct.
Put out that he put out the schedule differences, the wins versus the Rangers losses so far. And I mean, I'll make a little comparison here for those that painfully have to sit through my Sundays on Twitter. Bit like the Bills, they beat up on bad teams, then all of a sudden a good team comes in, and whether it's the lineup or that night, suddenly it doesn't go as well. And I mean, that obviously wouldn't bode well long term for the Rangers' chances, but there's got to be something there because they're also hanging with some of the good teams during that stretch. And I just think that you got to focus on the offense. You got to mix up the lines, tweak them, if you will. I mean, Strome has been great this year. Zibanejad, hit or miss. Kreider's been really good. So just try to take some. Kakwa's been really good. Take some of the strength guys, sprinkle them around, and ideally, hopefully, get some more depth relatively sooner here by January or February, and let it run from there.
My question to you, Rob, is it possible that Josh Allen is just not good?
Oh my God, that's just absolutely. Is it possible Buck Showalter's not going to be good?
I agree.
You're saying that as if my opinion is very whelmed on Buck Showalter.
I'm not a baseball guy. I had to look him up before we even got on here.
That's hilarious.
Ask you, who is the?
I love that you loaded your gun with a bullet you thought would hurt me, and I'd be like, yeah, no, that's my point. I'm with you.
That's fair. Who is even Buck Showalter in today's NHL? This is how long I've been not paying attention.
Every NHL coach.
Yeah.
Every NHL coach.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. Buck Showalter is probably Gerard Gallant.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Well then, best of luck to the Mets.
Yeah, I like how you haven't answered the question.
I like Josh Allen a lot, Rob. I do. I've been a big fan for a long time.
All right. If the Bills problems this year, I'm not Josh Allen problems. I will simply say that. You cannot that's in bad faith.
No, I'm not an NFL guy anymore. I've kind of sworn off the sport, but Josh Allen himself has been quite impressive. Obviously last year, and I know he's had a couple like not dud games, but not exactly a very Josh Allen-esque games. And his running game is kind of taken down a little bit too, right?
When your offensive line performs like a D3 college in upstate New York, I mean, it's not pretty. So we got to give him a little benefit of doubt here.
Awesome.
You have to. I don't have to.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Greg, any other questions you want to ask Rob before we let him get out of here?
No, I think, Rob, this is why I love having you on, Rob, because you always you take the math and you contextualize for me in wording that makes it a lot easier to understand.
Yeah, you're smart guys for dummies, and I appreciate that about you.
Yeah, I mean, I spend too much time at bars. You got to explain it to somebody, so it's pretty easy when you think about it like that.
If you want to,
no, appreciate you guys having me on.
Of course, man. If you want to follow Rob, you can do it on twitter.com, where he goes at rluker, L-U-K-E-R 12, Rob Luker 12, or rluker 12, rather, and you can follow and yell at him on the internet like you do, Greg and I. Rob, thanks so much.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Rob. Talk soon, buddy. Hey, we're back. All right, want to thank Rob, a wonderful guest, big fan of his. He's always been one of my most underrated analyst people on the internet when it comes to New York Rangers. Let's get to a little bit of five-star questions. You want to leave five-star questions, you can go to our Patreon Discord and leave them, and we'll read them on the show. That's kind of how it works.
And as Ryan figures out how the hell to get to I'm already on the page. I'm a dummy. This is from Mesa Spades. What would you consider giving up for Jacob Chychrun? I'm not sure I would want Jacob Chychrun.
The even though Rob so eloquently earlier on the show stated that the New York Rangers do have a small top four problem, the problem isn't big enough to give up the assets to acquire Chychrun.
Yeah, there's no way I'd want Chychrun. And it's not saying anything he's like a bad player or anything. It's just don't think he fits.
It would be if the Rangers had him, it'd be great. It's just you're adding a player that is enhancing a unit that's already pretty good.
This is from Matty Jack, a legendary supporter. If you had to cover one team outside the Rangers based on this current season, what team would it be and why? I think the Golden Knights is an extremely interesting team to cover right now.
You just want to talk more about Jack Eichel. You
I
hate
do.
That we haven't talked about
I
him
do.
For
it's
a while.
It's been a long time. It's been a long time. Really thought
for
he was
me,
going to be
there. For me, I think it's the Ducks.
Boy, that's a fun team this year.
And
I thought they were
going
to suck. I thought they were going
they're
to
legit.
Suck.
They were supposed to be bad. And they are the opposite. And they're doing it in fun ways.
Yeah. Turns out Zegras is quite the player. Who fucking knew, huh? In the East, I don't think I'd want to follow, especially in the Metro. I wouldn't want to cover anybody. Atlantic, not really. I'd want to go out West. I'd probably want to cover.
I will say the Bruins would be interesting just because every week we'd have an identity crisis on the show talking about, you know, you wish someone would tell you you're in the good old days while you're in them.
Right. The Wild actually is a good one.
I'm angry at the Wild.
You are?
They've lost me money the last couple times
I've
bet on
them. That's why then. All right. Question for Ryan and Greg. If you had to choose it to answer during an interview, fuck, marry, kill, Zibanejad, Panarin, and Kreider. We have a similar one from... No, that was just the person answering. Okay, yeah. Fuck, marry, kill, Zibanejad, Panarin, Kreider. I'm probably marrying Zibanejad. I'm probably hanging out and in bed with Panarin, and I'm probably killing Kreider. And that hurts to say?
I would only fuck Zibanejad and marry Panarin.
Man,
I think waking up next to Panarin every day would be pretty cool.
I would just smile. This is from Just Gypsy. Based on the cap situation and roster and contract makeup, has this season become the year? Free money to pay any rental? Okay, we really answered this question. Congratulations, Just Gypsy. We did 25 minutes on this. Willy, it's playoff times. Kincaid is the backup, and Igor is back in the saddle. Are there any teams in the Metro you would start Kincaid against for your division competition?
No,
Igor
is... Igor's healthy. If Igor's healthy, we're in the playoffs. He's playing 16.
And I am Keith's agent. Igor will start. I wish I wish Keith the best, and I wish him a job in the NHL again.
Hey, his name gets on the cup just the same if he's starter or backup.
Doesn't matter. That's all that matters. This is from Chris from Florida. Where would you rank this team in terms of best Ranger teams over the past 10 years? What do you see as the realistic production for... Oh, this is two different questions, Chris. I'm so sorry. Let's do the first one. So where do you rank them in the past 10 years? I think this team right now, again, there's a lot more to be played, but I would say around third or fourth.
Yeah, I can't do it until the year's over because...
I can't make them more than 2015 or 2014 teams. They're just
My answer to this question, if you asked me about the Mets last year at the end of May, is wildly different from my answer at the beginning of October.
I think this team, I'll say this, Chris, to kind of answer your question a little bit. I think this team has the potential to have way more firepower than any team in the last 10 years have had. And I don't think that's a hot take at all.
Because they have the potential to score more than 3 goals a night, all while getting Henrik Lundqvist-level goaltending.
Yep. And Chris also asked, what do you see as a realistic production for Kako and Lafreniere when they're in their primes? I still am. I don't really know what to make of Lafreniere a lot of the time. I'm still trying to figure it out. But I do think Kako is going to end up being like a 50 to 60 point player that in the right wing that's kind of like an elite bubble all-star kind of player. And he's already, right now, a tremendous NHL asset comparatively to where he was 2 years ago. Will he end up being a star? That could happen in the next 2 years for Kako. I find it to be unlikely, but he's already a very, very extremely solid right winger in this league who I think can get 60 points, which is a great, great career, by the way.
I'd say if we're at years 24, 25, 26 with Laff and he's also not 60-plus, I'd be pretty surprised.
Yeah. All right. This is from Tom Ertz, a good friend of the show. Including potential moves you could see the team making in the future, when it's all said and done, Who do you think will be the top three players of the 2020s for the New York Rangers? Well, my answer would have been Eichel earlier this summer, and that's not the case anymore. Here I am talking about him again. We can just go ahead and knock one off right away. Adam Fox is definitely number one.
I think all three are pretty easy.
It's Panarin.
Panarin and Igor.
And Igor, yeah. I agree with you. I think those will be the top three. And maybe Lafreniere could sneak in there if things really click for him. But I think the top three are just those three, with the names we already mentioned.
Things would have to click with him on a Panarin level for him to beat Panarin, is my general takeaway.
Panarin is already like he's been a Hart Trophy candidate for the last 4 years. It's incredibly hard to do that.
He's a point plus per game player.
Truly insane.
Even my high goals and expectations I have for Lafreniere, under no circumstance do I expect him to match prime Artemi Panarin's production.
Agreed. All right, we're going to transition to some nonsense, and by that I mean we're going to talk baseball, and then I'm going to thank some Patreon listeners at the end of the show. I won't be doing a Pokemon wrap this week, but I will do something special next week for the holidays. Greg, let's talk. You can follow me on Twitter at OverIMeet. You can follow Greg at Blue Shirts Break, blah, 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 blah. Please support us on Patreon. That's how we live. Please buy us coffee or a beer, /etc. Happy holidays. However you celebrate, and take care of yourself. Let's talk about Buck Showalter and the Mets, because baseball is closed down.
You just sound so excited.
Here's the thing. I couldn't think of a more boring move.
Here's the thing. I think every move was a boring move.
It was so boring.
Of the three finalists, I didn't really care. I
felt like he only got the job because Max Scherzer said his name.
And you know what? That's all the reason you need. That I'm fine. Like, that alone. If Scherzer was like, I'm going to sign on this dotted line if you promise me Buck Showalter.
Then you do
one
it.
My
you
manager,
do it.
I'd be like, cool.
You do it.
I don't give a shit.
But I'm so underwhelmed by
I'm not underwhelmed. I'm just whelmed.
I'm going to flame the Mets a little bit. I know that's fucking crazy. Oh. I am. I like Cohen as an owner. I like that he wants to win, and I like that he wants to spend. But since he got here, I expected things to be a little different. Now, listen, I know it's only been a year, year and a half, whatever it is. But when he came in, and I expected him to put the quote-unquote like right people into place, and I just don't think he's done that. Year one was a disaster for presidency and the GM. I'm not sure I love Sandy still running everything. I'm kind of down on all the organizational moves he's made in general. I think if he can get Stearns, like you've mentioned, from Milwaukee, I'd be a lot more interested on how the Mets are going to move forward. But when it comes to actually just operational hires and managerial hires, I've been totally out. You follow them day in and day out. That's just my feeling. That's all.
It hasn't been a pretty process. I will say, I don't think Theo was ever happening. I think Billy Beane was very surprising from where I sit. I do think if the Brewers would let Stearns leave, he'd be here. I do think that's clear as day.
But since he has a contract,
I think
he
that
will
is
not.
Yeah, and I think that's clouding some things. I don't know what else the Mets could have done last offseason. They traded for Francisco Lindor, then dropped a bag on him. It's hard for me to be super critical of, you know, that offseason. I mean, how many times do you need me to tell you? I said it thousands of times that I didn't want James McCann. I thought it was weird that the Mets were so not just content, but willing to get that done early to do their other business. But if James McCann was the price of Francisco Lindor, like, I guess I pay it. Can't say I have any complaints about this offseason, at least from a player transaction standpoint.
As you shouldn't. And I didn't want to talk about the players because I think the transactions have been good.
But here's my question then, because this is kind of where I land, and it's where I landed in the little piece I wrote for our Patreon subscribers.
Hey, nice, nice, nice.
How important do you think a manager is in this day and age? Because I just don't think it's important.
I think it's important in some respects of setting culture, and I know this is just...
Man management.
It's so old guy, but culture and building team chemistry is super important when it comes...
It's man management,
that's
right?
It.
That's essentially what a...
Everything else a computer tells you to do. That's what Boone does. And Aaron Boone, I hate Aaron Boone. Sorry, Yankee
fans. Everybody's complaints about Luis Rojas were actually complaints about Zach Scott in the process. I want to make that clear. And I'm not a big enough Luis Rojas stan that blah, blah, blah. I will say this. I'm whelmed on Buck. I'll be annoyed if the Mets just let Buck act like it's 1994 all over again. That's there. There are things that the Mets did well last year, like shifting, that they need to keep doing, that Buck Showalter generally has been against in the past. So that's a big test for me. I'm not too worried about whether Showalter leaves Zach Britton in the bullpen like he did for the Orioles and their big playoff push, because again, I think every pitching decision is determined before the game is even played. They just map out, here's what we're doing in X, Y, and Z. It's on a sheet, and you follow the sheet.
That's what
the
Rays do. They have it.
And it works.
The Rays have everything planned out to the pitch. It's disgusting.
Yeah, and listen, every bullpen move comes down to a reliever executing. We like blaming the manager for taking a guy out or leaving a guy in, but here's the thing. If the players perform, it's done. It's good. So I can't worry about that. There will be 6, 10, 12 games this year where something happens with the bullpen that I'm going to be annoyed with, and that's just baseball. I will say this. I think more than ever I am intrigued and give a shit about who the Mets bench coach is, because this does feel like a situation where the Mets want to identify an heir apparent, and they want Showalter to groom him, and I've heard the name Carlos Beltran enough to think that it's possible.
Beltran's interesting. I think he should have been here in general in the first place.
And well, he was, Ryan.
I know. And from everything we've learned from that entire scandal, it seems like the Astros weren't the only one. They are cheaters, and they probably shouldn't have won the World Series. But it seems like there was a lot more we will never know about, similar to steroids. And I don't think Beltran should have taken the brunt for that one. I really don't. So hopefully
Hinch
he comes back for you.
Hinch is back. Cora is back. I don't understand why Beltran can't come back. And I honestly, let him be Buck's bench coach for 2-3 years. That's fine. Let him learn some of the whatever man management things that Buck Showalter apparently does to a T, where even the New York media loves the guy. Let him learn that shit from Buck, because I'm confident Beltran sees the game better than Buck Showalter. So I don't need him learning any of that shit. But the day-to-day operation of being a manager, if Buck Showalter is here to be a professor for 3 years, fine, whatever. But at the same time, the Mets should be on paper good enough where the manager doesn't matter. They have Jacob DeGrom, Max Scherzer, Pete Alonso, fucking Francisco Lindor.
Yep.
This team, I could manage this team and it should win 90-plus games. If they don't, it's on the players. I don't know. I think that would have been the same case if Espada was the guy. I think it would have been the same case if, what's that guy's name? Quartaro?
Yes.
Yeah, cool. It's a dude. The players need to play. That's where I'm at. And I think the analogy I made with Rob is perfect. I see him as a Gerard Gallant. His X's and O's aren't going to be perfect. He's going to do shit that pisses me off, but the players sure seem to love him. And I think that's the perfect comparison.
Agreed. All right, we're going to get out of here. I'm going to thank our Patreon subscribers. And thank all of you for sticking around. We'll be back later this week for BSBOT. I guess Wednesday afternoon that'll be up, since there's no game this week. Something like that.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm pretty sure you'd want to do either Wednesday or Thursday. So you tell me what day you want
to
do.
I'll talk to you Wednesday afternoon, my friend. We'll figure that out. Figure it out of time. All right, thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Hey, all right, we're back. I want to wish a special happy holidays to all of you, no matter where you're celebrating. Please take care of yourself and spend some time with your loved ones if you can, and be safe about it. Very happy to celebrate the holidays. I'm a big, big, big celebrate holiday guy, especially when it comes to the winter of Christmas. I own like 25 Christmas sweaters. There's a Blue Shirts Breakaway, like rare edition Christmas sweater that has giraffes on it and menorahs and other stuff. Very, very cool. So I want to take this time. Usually I would do so. I'm going to start doing like more weird stuff at the end of the shows, but I want to thank all of our Patreon subscribers, but especially the NHL Insiders group, where we talk about all the latest news and all that stuff. It's become a really nice chat and part of my life. So Adam Cassidy, Adam Cohen, Adam Cartulo, Adam Keech, Adam Gardner. I'm so sorry, Alex. Alex Gardner, Amber Cohensberger, Austin Beetleman, Barbie Chris, Ben Waters, Ben Weber, Biggs Malone, Brian Doyle, Broadway, Blue Shirt Bleeder, Chris Finelli, CJ Stelwick, and Daniel Dezen, David Naradin, David Siegel, Dennis Dites, Eric Stagg, Give Gardner a Cup, Gretzky, Gareth McFly, Handel, Harrison Hasco, Hip Hop Horror, Hey 89, George, Jake Berkowitz, Jerry Marquez, JD, Jamie Mack, John Hardesty, Justin Friedman, Christopher Florida, Christoph Burke, Kyle Franklin, Lazek, Gronkowski, Lou Giordano, Lucas K, Matthew Kine, Max Nielsen, Pavel Kodrev, Randy Tesser, Stephen Lomayer, Stig Bulbach, Swinegard, The Drop BK, The Eric Carlson, Tommy Sinclair, Tommy O'Neill, Tori from Manhattan, Upstate Vin, Will Spector, Vinny Hay, and Vinny Bracco. Thank you all for being part of the NHL Insiders Club.
And I hope you all have a happy, like I already said, happy, wonderful holiday out there. Going to be a weird week without the Rangers, that's for sure. But I do think, and listen, we don't know how long the league's going to be shut down, if it does shut down at all. We talked about that at the beginning of the episode. But the Rangers have played a lot of games here. I wonder if this would be, they would only miss one game versus Montreal in general. This is going to kind of be a blessing, not a blessing, because there's no blessing in this situation, right? But this is a good thing for the Rangers' health. Oh, man, it's not even a good thing for the Rangers' health. That's not the case. I mean, if it's a pandemic, everybody, let's put it this way. They can rest their legs. The Rangers were playing a lot of games in a shorter period of time. This is going to allow them to practice right before the Christmas break, work out some kinks, come back strong, and hopefully play next Monday night versus the Detroit Red Wings, who have two of the hottest rookies in the last 5 years. And it will be very, 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 very fun to get back on the ice. I wish you all happy holidays one more time, and thank you all for the support. We'll be back next week. Love you all. Bye-bye.